All right, welcome back to the Idol Radio Show right here at idolradioshow.com. If you want to give us a call, you can. It's 646-652-4656. Don't even know how long we're going to have as far as callers go, because I just have so many questions. So the moment that most of you all have been waiting for is finally here. We have an international celebrity on our show. We've only had a few international celebrities. We've had quite a bit of celebrities on, but we only had a few international celebrities. And today, we expand that list. This is a person. This is a man that I was introduced to, I think about, maybe almost a year or so ago. I'm not exactly sure. On another hero of mine, Howard Stern, on his show. And I was utterly amazed and didn't even know what to think. And, you know, it was just really a weird and interesting situation for me to just go over my own feelings as I watched this. Like, what do I think? What am I feeling? You know, this or that. It was a unique situation. We're dealing with Buck Angel. And Buck Angel was born a woman but had a transition over to being a male, but did not decide to mutilate himself. As some might say. I guess maybe the top portion was, I don't know. I guess really it all depends on your perspective. But he has a full and functioning vagina, which he uses. That's the key part. He doesn't just have it. He actually uses it. So I would like to welcome to the show, Buck Angel. Welcome to the Idol Radio Show.
Hey, Gerald. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Now, you are an idol. There are so many people. You know, have you met people that are in your exact situation?
Yeah, there's many, many, many people like me. We just kind of blend in with society, and they don't put themselves out there the way I do.
I have never even heard of this, and the funny thing is it doesn't make sense that I've never heard of it. It's not like I had concluded that there were no men like this. It's just, like you said, they don't. Before you're making yourself known, my mind just never even went there. So that we're clear and we don't have to worry about trying to come back and do this later, you were born a woman, and at a certain point you decided to have sexual reassignment surgery, but you decided to leave your genitals intact. Is that pretty accurate, or clear up any confusion that I have?
No, I think you pretty much hit it right on the head. Yep, I had a sex change, and I decided that I did not want to have what they call in my community, transsexual community, bottom surgery. And many different reasons, but I think mostly it's because I just don't feel that surgery is perfect for me. It's not a functioning penis as I would like to have a functioning penis. Like, you can't really, you know, get a hard-on, and you can't pee through it, and you can't do all the things that, you know. It's getting more advanced that way, but, you know, and it's like $70,000, and I just don't feel like I need to. I don't feel for myself that is going to make me fully a man. I feel already fully a man, so it's not important for me.
So getting a penis put on would be cosmetic only, right?
Yes. It's not a working penis like a regular biological man's working penis. Yes, exactly. It's more for aesthetics and for people to feel as if they are a whole gender that way. And, you know, I personally feel that I am a whole gender type person. I feel like I am a man, even though I still have a vagina.
And that didn't bother, I mean, right, you're not bothered by the same issues. I would imagine with so many people, the whole reason that they decide to do that is because they need that as an extra boost for their self-esteem. You're saying you never needed, you didn't need that.
No, exactly. I think that, you know, because in society today, we throughout, you know, society, we've always been told that a man has a penis and a woman has a vagina.
Right.
And so when you go through a sex, you know, sex surgery, sex reassignment surgery, this is what you are told. You are told that you have to have a man who changing to a woman has to have a vagina, has his penis cut off in a vagina, and a woman changing to a man has to have, you know, his vagina changed into a penis. And I just have to disagree with that. I don't, maybe in 10 years the surgery is going to be amazing and it's going to have a functioning penis. And you know what, if that was the case, I probably would have gotten the surgery.
Right.
But, you know, I kind of had to realize that it's just not where I want it to be, and I have to learn how to say that I'm totally comfortable being a man this way, and I am.
And you just are. So, going back in your childhood, I was reading up on you and reading some of your information, and you said that you felt like a man your entire life, like even as a child.
Yes.
How far back?
Always.
Like, Like,
oh, since I can remember. I mean, I can't remember when I was one or two, but I remember when I was 8, 9, always dressing like a kid, like a boy, and my parents always dressing me like a boy, and you know, mostly they call that a tomboy, and people think you're just going through a phase when you're a little kid, and you're just, you know, kind of like just roughhousing around with the boys, but I never grew out of that phase. I continued to be very boyish and to play with boy things and to do boy things and to always feel very man, boyish into, you know, into my young adulthood, feeling more manly. But, you know, at that time, it was more that people would just identify me as a masculine woman and a dyke, a gay woman.
Right.
And I never felt like a gay woman. That was kind of like the community I was put into, because there were no transgendered people back then. It was not, there were, but it wasn't as talked about it as it is today.
It was like completely hidden. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. And I had no clue that I could have a sex change. For many, many, many years, I had a really traumatic childhood and through life because I had no idea that I could, you know, change my gender.
I want to explore something that you just said, though. You were talking about when you were younger, you played with boy toys and you dressed like a boy. When you said that, that instantly struck in me just the culture that we live in right now. You know, clothing that are out are specifically geared towards guys, and toys that are out are specifically geared towards boys. But all of that has to do with cultural conditioning that we actually live in. Why is it that you felt that? You know, like, did that have anything to do with trying to adapt to what you felt inside? Because clearly, as a young person, you don't know that these clothes are made for boys and these are for girls unless someone in society tells you that, or somehow throughout the culture you realize that. What is it that made you go gear yourself towards playing with toys that boys traditionally play with and wearing clothing that boys traditionally wore?
That's a really great question. I think that you're right. When you're kids, you just kind of do whatever is natural for you. And, you know, who cares if you're a boy and you play with a Barbie doll? Who cares if you're a girl and you play with a G.I. Joe? It doesn't matter. It's just something that you naturally, you know. But for some reason, I kept doing those things as I got into my teens and I got into my young, you know, into my adulthood. And I just always was really feeling more like I wasn't supposed to be wearing dresses, and I would not feel comfortable in that situation. I could have probably, there's a lot of kids who, young girls who are tomboys and play with masculine things, but, you know, grow up to be very, you know, okay with being a woman. But I knew as I got older, as I started coming into my teens, that I was feeling more like I was a guy and that I wasn't really a girl. I had that feeling in my gut. I think it's normal for kids to play with whatever toys they want to play with. And, you know, people put too much emphasis on that. Like, ooh, he's playing with a Barbie doll. Does that make him gay?
Right.
No, he might just be attracted to that for some reason.
Right, right. So you felt that just this. Did you date when you were growing up?
You know, no, because I was very shy. And I think now looking back, I know why I was shy. I just wasn't comfortable in my skin. So, you know, I didn't start dating. I date my first boyfriend or date was like when I was like 20 years old. I didn't have sex until I was like 21. I just was not comfortable around boys, and I was attracted to women, and, you know, the only women then that made me a lesbian, but I wasn't really, you know, identifying myself as a lesbian. And
but does the term lesbian offend you, though?
Oh, no, of course not. I have many, many, many gay women friends.
Well, no, I don't mean that.
Offended.
I don't really mean that. I mean, you know how, like, sometimes people just don't want to be called a certain thing. Would that be something that would offend you when you were younger? If someone says, I think she's a lesbian, would that have offended you?
Oh, no. I think now I'm so not into, like, the label thing. Everybody has to fit into their little box. And,
right.
You know, that's what Buck Angel is kind of like about. Like, you know, I don't fit into any box or any category, any community. And I think that, you know, labels are so interesting to me. Like, why does everybody have to have a label? But back then, I don't think so. I think that's what I did, the community that I ended up, you know, identifying with, because it was the only community that, you know, people on the outside saw a very butch woman, so immediately that makes me a gay woman, and that's the community that I was in. But, you know, I'm telling people, I'm not a gay woman, I'm a man, and people are looking at me like I'm nuts. What are you talking about?
Right, like, what do you, maybe, like, they're looking at you like you don't even understand what you're talking about. So
yeah, exactly. And there was no therapist at the time that could really help me go through my issues, and you know, and then the whole drug and alcohol thing started coming along, and you know, I'm trying to hide my feelings with drugs and alcohol, and just got completely out of control. It's so much that I shouldn't even be sitting here talking to you. It was just so bad for me.
Yeah, yeah, that I can, man, I can only imagine how insane that must actually have been. So you did this, and what area did you grow up in? You grew up in the United States, right?
I grew up in the San Fernando Valley in Southern California.
Okay, so if we want to talk about people being liberal to ideas, that area is not exactly immune to that. I mean, that you grew up in an area where there is a certain amount of tolerance, right?
Oh yeah, you know, California's California. It's hippie and cool, and it's always been very kind of on the forefront of that open-mindedness for sure. So
right.
it was like, you know, when people my family treated me like a little boy when I was 10, 11, no one really ever said anything until I got to be in my, you know, when I was 15 or 16, and then my parents' friends are like, you got to stop calling him Buck. You got to stop, you know, he's a girl and he's not, you know. And so my parents kind of took that on a little when I had my sex change. Like, oh, they think it's their fault that I'm this way, and it's not. It's just a biological fact that I was supposed to be born a guy, and it just, you know, didn't work out that way.
So when you started with the hormone and you decided to do the reassignment for the top portion of your body, now how does that work? Did they sit there and like, I mean, because you're, all right, let me back up. If anyone has not seen this guy, www.idolradioshow.com, or if you want to just go straight on over to buckangel.com, feel free to do so. The top portion of your body is defined. Did they work out that chest in advance, or was that you?
Sorry, I'm cracking up because, you know, thanks. I really appreciate that. I worked very hard on my body, and no, I just had what you call just a regular, like, mastectomy. You know, they took out my female breast tissue, and I worked very hard and built all what you see is totally natural.
See,
I built my body by going to the gym every day.
I actually thought, from where I heard the very first time I heard you was on the Howard Stern show, the way I heard them speak about it there, I thought that you had much more done to your chest. I thought you had a chest that was made out that way, and then you just kind of like did your arms. So all they did was remove the breasts.
Yeah, all they did was remove my breast tissue, and I just go to the gym and pumped weights, and really built. I built that muscle there. I built it into a man's chest. I had a really amazing surgeon who left no scars on my body, on my chest, and so that's why I think that just helped me to help define my chest area so, you know, so much with the help of testosterone. I have to take testosterone every 2 weeks as maintenance because I don't have, you know, any.
You don't have it. You still have to do that?
Yes, I have to do it for the rest of my life. It's sort of like being a diabetic in a sense.
No, what happens if you what happens if you stop?
If I stop, I'm pretty much, you know, things like my voice will stay the same and the hair will be there. But, you know, I probably will start losing definition and losing muscle mass, and there won't be that testosterone in my body.
It won't,
and I
okay.
think I probably won't feel good. I know that it makes me feel grounded, the testosterone. It makes me feel, you know, just like myself, and I think that if I stop taking it, it's just mentally, it's affected my brain. It's affected the way I think and the way I act, interact in society, for sure. So I don't want to ever have to stop doing that. So the only thing I could possibly tell you is I might become depressed, and, you know, those types of things might happen.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha. I've seen pictures of you as a woman. Now, you talk about this butch masculine woman. I haven't seen pictures of I've only seen one picture of you as a woman, and it was as opposite of that what of the image that you just described as the East is from the West. You know the picture that I'm speaking about, right? You as because you
yeah.
started working as a female model, right?
Yes.
Gorgeous. I mean, like, absolutely gorgeous. I have two questions about that. First, do you think you were gorgeous when you were a female model? Can you respect and accept that?
Okay. Sorry. And second?
Did you answer the first one, or are you waiting on the second one for...
I know, because I'm like, no. I'm like, no, don't say it.
Well, the second one, I want to know... For the second one, I want to know how it came about. But I'm just wondering whether or not you, when you look at that picture, like, what your thought is.
Yeah, you know, I'm so happy I did it now, because it just really makes my sex change that much more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that at the time when I was doing it, I had no idea why the hell am I doing this. I had a girlfriend it was a fluke. She took my picture to the agency, and next thing you know, they're calling me, and next thing you know, I'm doing it, and next thing I know, I'm in London, and, you know, but I'm totally a drunk alcoholic and out of my mind, so really, I didn't last too long, and I hated every minute of it, really, and I never thought I was a pretty girl. Even looking at it now, I don't see it. I see a very androgynous girl. I don't think I was ugly, but I don't think, like, you know, I'm like some... But I think what it is that just the contrast is so dynamic there that it really makes people go like Howard Stern. Remember Howard Stern saying, you know, I'd have hit it, or I'd have, you know, when I'm thinking to myself, why would you go from such a beautiful woman to such an ugly guy? And I'm just thinking to myself, you know, you just don't get it.
Yeah, that is in essence. That is in essence what he was saying, and it's because of people and their ability to understand this. I guess all of us in our personal lives, we all have things that we deal with that other people couldn't possibly understand. But the difference with you is most of us, you never know it, you know, like we hide it so much that we just keep it inside of this box. And with you, you've made it this public. But I would like to say that you are absolutely out of your mind when it comes to the way you looked as a woman. If my audience could see this picture, she was absolutely amazing. And I'm not you know, going the whole Howard Stern route, like, why would you do that? Because I know one has no relevance to the other. But you were not you. Oh man, that those model pictures of you that I saw as a woman were just gorgeous, gorgeous.
Thank you.
Oh, of course,
thank
of
you.
Course.
I, you know, I appreciate it. And, you know, obviously, I couldn't have been doing what I was doing if I wasn't in some way, you know, I guess pretty. And so, you know, I had an opportunity to become a huge model, but I just mentally was not there. I was not, you know, it was not me. I was not comfortable in my skin. I couldn't do it. And so, you know, God, young girls would die to become a fashion model. And
yeah.
Here's this opportunity laid to me on the table, like, you know, come on, you can, and I just could not get it together. I just was not, it was not an okay thing for me.
So you decided to go with the sexual reassignment surgery. When you went in, I mean, like, when you were making up your mind from this, was there ever a time when you said to yourself, I want to go the full route? Or was this something like from the very beginning, you said the vagina is something I'm keeping?
Oh no, I hated my vagina forever. So, you know, I always wanted to have a penis. I mean, that was like what we're taught that makes a man. And so, you know, I was sucked into that whole thing as well. And for many, 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 many years during my sex reassignment surgery, which I started with my taking testosterone, and then 2 years out into taking testosterone, I had my chest surgery done. And then, you know, I was waiting and I was going to have, you know, my bottom surgery when I found the right surgeon that could do the best job. And hopefully I was thinking that the surgery was going to get better and better. And over the years, it didn't get better and better. And then I just realized that I'm going to have to accept my body. And because, you know, testosterone makes you super horny. So I'm missing out on all these sexual, you know, things because I'm not comfortable with my body. I had to say, look, Buck, either you're going to start enjoying your body, your new body that you really always wanted to be, or you're going to just, like, what's the point of having a sex change? And so at that point, I just realized to myself, I have to just learn to enjoy my vagina and realize that it's part of me being a man. And from that moment on, I just kind of let go, and I haven't looked back since.
You just said, I need to learn to use my vagina, and it's part of me being a man. I don't even know where to go with that statement. Do you have any idea how you just blew the mind of probably everybody who's listening right now?
I know. Trust me, I know.
So you did this. How did you progress into the whole porn thing? Like, how did that come about?
You know, that came about because I was working making fetish movies in the porn business, and I was also working on a transsexual woman, a male to a female who's a porn star, and I was working on her website. And, you know, I was doing that for about 3 or 4 years, and it just, like, this weird light bulb popped into my head when I was working on her site one day, and I said, there are no female to male transsexuals making porn. That is crazy. And the porn business, where you can pretty much see every kind of porn, clown porn, balloon porn, gum chewing porn, whatever,
right.
You know,
sneezing. You know, they got these. They got these sneezing porns. One of the ladies who was in a competition that we hosted, YouTube Idol, her name is Molly Jane. There was a guy who contacted her and he wanted her, she had a cold. He wanted her to sneeze in a towel and send it to him. And then I started looking up things and I found out that there's a whole sneezing porn fetish that's out there right now.
Yeah.
So. So why not female to male transgender is what your thought process?
Why not? So, it has been a rocky road. Let me tell you, it hasn't been easy being a pioneer in the sex industry. And I, you know, my mind is thinking, oh, they're gonna love it. People are gonna eat it up. It's gonna be totally huge. No way. It's taken me. I've been doing this for 4 years, and just now am I starting to kind of really get myself out there. People really were very hesitant to. You know, kind of let me do what I wanted to do and push it and show it. The first company I started working with wanted to make me all freak man, you know, like Buck Angel, the freak of nature. And I'm like, no, that's not the kind of porn I want to do. I mean, I'm already freaky enough to people as it is, but that's not what I'm trying to show. I'm trying to show that you might think I'm a freak or whatever, but I don't. And there's a lot of other people out there who don't think I'm a freak and they think what I do is very hot. So I wanted to portray myself in that manner and my movies in that manner. So that's why it's been taking me so long to kind of really, you know, I'm inventing a whole new genre of porn.
Oh my God, you sure are.
Yeah. It's not an easy thing to be a pioneer, let me tell you.
Yeah, you certainly are. You are in your movies, do you work with men and women?
Yeah, I do films that I try to basically do different types of movies for different types of audiences. So I'll do movies with just all women, then I'll do a movie with just all guys, geared specifically towards the gay male audience or specifically towards women. And then I did a couple films that are more like bisexual. And I find that by doing those, I found my market, my target, you know, audience, which happens to be gay men. So, you know, I'm not going to just make all these movies and not make money. And one of the points is it's my business and I have to make money from it. So through making different types of films, I found that the most movies that sell are my all-gay male movies.
Are you attracted to guys?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I would consider myself very sexual, and I'm attracted to men and women.
Okay.
You know, it's more like a person. I don't even know if it's the gender. I like people, and I'm kind of a horny kind of guy, so I just pretty much get turned on by, if I like your energy and I think you're, you know, that's how I kind of go for it.
That's how it goes. I've received so much feedback just from having you on the show. I can only imagine what your feedback is like. I'm not saying I was surprised by it, because I really wasn't surprised. I was just really, it was a look into the eye of judgment. And it's really weird to me how we have this society where people, I know we judge everything. Anything that we're looking at, we really look at it from our own eye and we're looking at it from our own judgment. But people, when it comes to you and other people, I can't really say other people who do what you do because I don't know of any other people, but just let's just use you for an example. People seem to be so anti you that it's like, they seem like they're personally affected by what you do, which is what is confusing to me. Because if they don't simply buy your videos, they're not going to ever come into contact with it. And
yeah, exactly.
Is that your experience? Do you talk to people who seem to really want to tell you to stop doing this?
Oh my God, I have to. That's, to me, that's the more important thing. I love that I've gotten so many fans by what I have done. But of course I have so many haters, or so many people who are completely freaked out by who and what I am. And I think it's more important for me to really try to educate those people and let them know that, hey, I don't really care whether or not you think what I'm doing is okay. It's what I'm doing, whether you like it or not. And you have to open your mind. The world is not black and white. And whether or not, you know, that's what you've been taught or that's what you think, it's not the way it is. And for too many years, people have just let it be that way. You know, everyone just thinks everything is this way and that way. It's not. There's like a huge other part of the world that exists like I do. And, you know, I'm a human being. I have feelings. I like myself. And there's many other people like us out there. And I think, why are these people judging me so hard? What is it that really makes them feel so offended by me? Is it that they're attracted to me and it makes them feel, you know, like insecure about their sexuality? Is it that they just don't know how to deal with it, so they react in a negative manner, which is the way a lot of people do when they don't understand something. They react negatively about it, as opposed to just taking a step back and saying, okay, you know, well, okay, that's cool. Buck is, like you said, I don't have to buy Buck movies, and it doesn't really matter to me. If that's what he wants to do, it's totally cool.
Well, what have you concluded? I mean, you've been dealing with this for years. What is your conclusion? Why do you think people are so personally, quote-unquote, offended?
Because they don't know what to make of it. You know, because we're taught that a man has a penis and a woman has a vagina. And I'm telling you that's not true. I'm telling you that's not true. I'm telling you I am a man whether you want to accept me. In the eyes of the government of the United States, I'm a man. I've had a legal sex change. My passport, my birth certificate has been changed. My driver's license, and even if those weren't changed, it doesn't matter to me. I would still tell you that I'm a man.
Right, right.
But, you know, the government has even, you know, recognized me as a man. And so I don't know why that is so offensive to you and why you can't just accept me as a man and that I'm okay with myself. You know, I'm not out there. I'm doing a positive thing for society. It doesn't necessarily reflect just the sex industry. I'm showing for people who are different in any way, whether it's your sexuality, your gender, you know, the things you like to do in life. It's like I'm showing that you don't have to conform to certain community standards or the way everything is supposed to be. I'm saying if you're not hurting in yourself and you're not hurting anybody and you're, you know, why can't you just do what you want to do and be who you want to be? And, you know, that's what I think Buck Angel represents. And I think that if people open their mind and expand a little more to that, they would be a little more understanding about what I'm doing.
So you have your allegiance, clearly you have your allegiance of fans, and you now, you like right now, you are in the United States doing a tour. You do shows. Now, what do you do on these shows?
Oh, I do a private shows here at a private club in New York City, and I just kind of do a little act. And it's not hardcore, because in the United States it's a little different to do hardcore sex acts. It's basically just kind of stripping down and dancing around. But in Europe, I do more hardcore, you know, pretty hardcore on stage, literally live sex shows.
So you can do that in
sometimes
Europe, though, right?
I have a partner, sometimes by myself.
You can, and you can do that over in Europe, can't you?
In Europe, yeah. You know, they're pretty liberal. You can pretty much do anything over there.
Right. You can. You just can't kill. Now, you can kill people in the United States and get away with it, though. That's the thing. Like, you know, I was saying to someone the other day that OJ gets to, like, have sex with women and then kill them. Actually, what I said was OJ as a black man, gets to have sex with white women and then murder them. And he's like, okay, it's like, okay. Well, it's not really okay, because it's really frowned upon in our society to do both of those things. But he did both, though. And he's still able to kind of, like, function, and people are just – it seems like most people, their mindset is, okay, well, you know, he's going to go to hell, and that seems to, like, be okay with people. But, like, with you, I get the impression that people are thinking, okay, he's going to go to hell, but I still want to yell at him. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you know, you're totally right. I completely don't understand that. Like, how is it okay for him – I mean, to do such a hardcore negative thing, and all I'm doing is showing sex. But this country is so unbelievably repressed around sex and sexuality that, like, it's okay to be violent or to have violent video games, and everyone's doing this fucked up, crazy, playing PlayStations that kill each other. But then, you know, it's like, but to be honest with you, if I had children, I'd much rather have them be watching porn and jacking off in their bedroom than playing a PlayStation game and then learning how to kill people and going to school and blowing away their classmates. It just is so opposite of what I'm doing is a positive thing. Sex is positive. There's nothing wrong with sex. And I just think that it's like in the United States, everyone has their priorities twisted around, you know? It's so, like, why does sexuality and sex push people's buttons in such a negative manner? No one's speaking out about PlayStation games being totally out of control.
And they are.
You mentioned porn. It's like, wow, everyone is just completely in an uproar.
Yeah, they are. They are. Okay, so you do this in the United States, and you do it, and you actually ended up moving to Mexico. Was there a reason that this happened, or do you find how are you treated there?
I love Mexico. I live in Yucatan, Mexico. It's unbelievably amazing. I have an amazing home. I live in paradise. The people are so great. They're very, very cool and nice. It's just a completely different environment. They're not hostile. I don't have to worry about locking my doors at night. I don't have to worry about walking down the street. I lived in New Orleans for years. It was like, it was getting really bad there. And, you know, it's like you got to watch everything you're doing. And, like, then I moved to a completely opposite situation now. And it's like, I love it. And I moved there partly because of the United States government, and I was not happy with what's going on in the United States, and partly because I wanted to try something new, and I wanted to, you know, move and be somewhere where I could enjoy my money and not have to stress about, you know, every single penny, and my dollar goes far over there. And I live really great.
Yeah, so, I definitely heard that. If I could just talk to you about that for a minute, really having nothing to do with what you're on for, because that's always something that's really interests me. I know people who have moved to Mexico, but, you know, we have this image of Mexico, and the image is corruption, crime, get in your house at nighttime, don't drive up and down the streets, but, you know, some of the people that I do know who move there, they do tell me that, you know, much of that is true when it comes to the corruption with the police and et cetera, but there's ways to get around that or to avoid that. Now, how does that work just as a person who moves there? Do you have to, like, make sure that you move into a certain community, or is that overrated, what we've heard about Mexican and the Mexican government police?
To me, you just described the United States. of course, Mexico City is a very dangerous city. I don't live in Mexico City. I live in Yucatan, which is where I live, is the safest city in all of Mexico. And it's totally a lie. The police, of course, that, you know, there's some corruption going on. The government, of course, there's almost every government in the world is corrupt. So, you know, all of those things said, I don't ever feel unsafe where I live. The people aren't like that. They're very simple people. It's a very poor country, but they're very simple. The things that make them happy are family, food, and, you know, their house. They don't need to have a million PlayStations and iPods and this and that. And, you know, that's not what it's about there. It's about, you know, you should see everybody goes out at night and hangs out in the park, and everyone talks to each other, and you don't see those kind of things in the United States anymore. And it's not anything what you think it is or what you're being told it is. It's completely the opposite of that.
I have to.
They're amazing people.
I have to completely agree with you. The description that I just described is of the United States as well. But for whatever reason, it's like that reverse hypocrisy that we were talking about earlier. When you deal with other countries, every country that we talk about, we make it like, you know, like we're immune to that here in the United States. And being the superpower that we are, we kind of start it all. I mean, it's like corruption. If the United States government were not corrupt, then I don't think any other government could even really exist inside of their corruption. I think they're feeding off of us, actually.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're totally right. Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
I mean, we're the world power. We're the ones. I mean, we're the ones who are telling everybody what to do. They can't have nuclear power. They can't have nuclear weapons, but we can. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me that everyone just lets us push them around and bully them around like that. It's just quite fascinating, and it's embarrassing. As an American, I love being American. I'll never give my American citizenship up, and I didn't do that when I moved to Mexico. I'm just, you know, on a visa living there. But, you know, I think it's just really disgusting how our government has just completely become this huge world bully power. And it's just not okay. They're destroying the world. They've completely destroyed the world.
Any chance we can get you to come back to the United States and run for some kind of office? Can you imagine?
Run for president.
Can you imagine Buck Angels running for president? I would love to see you at some of those debates. We get the Sibian out there, like right in the middle. I bet you that Mrs. Clinton would not be able to handle you in that debate.
Oh, no. I mean, none of them. They're all, you know, you know, as much as I like Clinton and whatever, I mean, they're just still politicians. And it still is very depressing to me, the whole campaigning and the whole thing. I mean, of course, when Bush gets out, it's going to be an amazing day. But, you know, we're just going to put another person back in, and I don't know, something really drastic has to happen in this country. It's just, people have become zombies and let it become this way. Nobody speaks out about it.
Yeah.
It's just really very sad case.
Yeah, I want to, I'll start making your money soon, and then I'll be joining you down there in Mexico. I'll be calling you up saying, Buck, tell me about this community, because I want to come down there with my daughter and buy a nice house. We will be in contact.
I think you would love it.
Actually, I do. That's one of the places that I want to get down to in the next year.
We'll talk, and then I'll get you to my house.
See, I'm serious. I'll be calling you. Now, question for you. A scenario just out of the blue. you are in some sort of a legal situation where you have to be interrogated by someone who is probably going to end up taking your clothes off. Do you warn them what they're about to see?
You know, I haven't. I forgot I was in that situation in New Orleans, and I got pulled over on New Year's Eve one night, and I still had my California driver's license,
mm-hmm.
and the law in New Orleans is really weird, and there's five states when they, I did a U-turn, and the cop pulled me over, and then he just was not liking me that night. I was dressed in my leather, going to a leather thing, and I think he, I don't know what he was tripping on, and then he just kind of said, you know, well, he was allowed to take me to the jail for the illegal left U-turn because I had a California driver's license. I don't have any clue how that came about. Next thing you know, I'm going to jail. Next thing, like I said, everything is legally mail, and I get into the jail, and they literally make me take my clothes off, and I'm like, no way. And then I was about to tell them, and I thought, you know what, I'm not going to tell them. They didn't make me take my underwear.
So man, this is so wrong.
I had packed a sock in there so it looked like I had a dick. Thank God I did that. So, you know, I got around, and next thing I know, I get to the part where they're going to put you in the jail cell. And, you know, believe me, New Orleans jail is not, it's hardcore. And so they're just looking at me like a piece of meat. And I'm just thinking, I'm going to get eaten alive right now. And not in a good way. And so then I get to the thing, I tell the doctor, you know what, I'm a transsexual. And I think he didn't understand what I was thinking. I think he thought I said I was a homosexual, which is fine with me. I don't really care, homo, trans, whatever. So they didn't put me in the system. They kind of just left me outside. So the airport, it hasn't happened to me yet. I get searched a lot because of the way I look, but I haven't had to really strip search. And no. I guess it would just be the mood I'm in at the time, if I felt like
at the time as to whether or not you want to freak people out. Now, do you tell people? Because I'm thinking there's no reason to tell people. Like, if you meet someone.
I don't sit next to somebody on a plane and say, hey, guess what? You know, I'm a man with a pussy. Like, it's just really not important.
Yeah, because I never bring it up.
Notice me.
I'm saying I never bring it up. Like, most people, we would never bring up what's in our pants, ever.
No, it's not an issue. It doesn't really, you know, obviously I'm out there, and I'm a figure now, and people know who I am, and I get noticed at places, and if that's the case, then yeah, it's different. But I'm not going to just blurt it out for people to know. It's just, it's not an important issue, I don't think.
Yeah, that I can only imagine. All right, but well, first of all, we are coming to the end of this hour. I want you to let our audience know how to get some of this Buck Angel merchandise.
Oh, it's all about Buck Angel at www.buckangel.com. Go to my website. You'll see all kinds of stuff I got on there in my store.
You got a few.
If you have some questions and you want to know anything, I really love to answer questions. And, you know, even if you're a hater, go ahead. Send me a hate mail. I really don't care.
Do you get a lot of that?
Change your mind about. Sorry?
Do you get a lot of hate mail?
You know, I used to. I don't anymore. I think that now the haters are too scared of me, and they post on blogs. And instead of just being, you know, like men and sending me a letter and saying whatever, they're just, I think I scare them or something, so they don't. So I used to get a ton of it, but now I get tons of awesome, amazing, supportive fan mail. So things have changed.
Wow. Okay, so buckangel.com, and I know associated with buckangel.com, you have a bunch of different sub-sites. Are they are they like separate stores, or like, do you have live video on your sites?
Well, I have my membership site, which is transsexualman.com, which is there's a link on my Buck Angel website, and that's more of a membership site where you can pay to go in and see, you know, all my nasty videos and pictures and blog things and all kinds of stuff like that. And then I have a YouTube account where you can see some interviews of me all around the world on different television stations I've been on. And then I have like just a bunch of little video streaming sites all over the internet. It would take me an hour to name all of the millions of websites I have. I'm an entrepreneur.
You gotta be.
I invented something new, and I cornered the market. I own the market of, you know, transsexual male porn. I am the king of that porn genre.
You gotta be. You are most definitely that. Well, Buck, thank you so much for being with us. I really, really, really appreciate it. And I will be talking to you soon, particularly when I get down, when I'm ready to come down to Mexico. I'm really going to need you to show me around.
Oh, dude, you're so welcome to my house. So whenever, just, you know how to reach me.
I got it.
I really appreciate you supporting my work and really putting me out there to a whole nother, you know, community of people who have no idea who I am, and maybe I changed one person's mind about something in the world. So good for you for having me on. Thanks a lot, man.
I'm a fan. Thanks. That's Buck Angel, everybody. All BuckAngel.com.
I'll talk to you later, man.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
That is so interesting.